Taita unwrapped Mintaka's feet and nodded with satisfaction. Then he dampened them in the strong alkali moisture of the sinking sands and rebandaged them. Over her protests, Nefer made her don his own sandals. They were too large for her by far, but the bandages made them fit closer. They had nothing to carry, no water or food, no weapons or baggage, nothing except the floorboards from the sunken chariots. With the Hyksos troopers on the far bank watching them curiously, Nefer led them up the face of the high dune, heading east. Panting, they reached the crest. Already their thirst was a raging torment. Nefer took one last look across the sinking sands. Trox troopers on the far bank had removed their horses' harness, lagered their chariots, and were lighting their watchfires. Nefer gave them an ironic salute, and followed the rest of the party down the far side of the dune. As soon as they were hidden from the watchers, they rested a while. "Every effort will cost us dear," Nefer warned them. "We'll have no water for many hours more." As they lay panting in the heat, they listened anxiously for the sound of the men and chariots. Mintaka gave voice to their fears. "Pray to all the gods that Trok does not find his crossing and come back to us before dark." When they'd recovered, Nefer led them under cover of the intervening sand dune, parallel to the valley of the sinking sands. They went only a short distance, but in the heat the effort taxed them severely. Once again they settled down to rest in the enervating yellow fog. They did not have long to wait before the darkness descended on them. Night brought little relief from the heat. They climbed back to the top of the dune, and below them saw the watchfires of the men on the opposite side of the valley. The flames gave just sufficient light for them to make out the layout of the Hyksos camp. The enemy chariots were drawn up in a hollow square, with the horses' heads hitched to the wheels. Two sentries sat beside the fires, and the rest of the men were lying on their sleeping mats within the shelter of the laager.
"They've seen us set out towards the east. We must hope that they believe that we're still heading in that direction, and that they're off their guard," Nefer said, and led them slipping and sliding down the face of the dune. They reached the bottom, a few hundred cubits down the valley from the camp. This was just far enough to hide their movements and muffle any sounds they might make. Using the glow of the campfires for orientation, linking arms so that no one would lose the way in the dark, they groped their way to the edge of the sinking sands. They launched the wooden boards and sculled across the quagmire. They'd become practiced at this form of travel, and within a short time they reached the far side. Keeping close together, they crept towards the camp and crouched down just beyond the circle of firelight. Except for the two sentries, the enemy camp seemed asleep. The horses were quiet, and the only sound was the soft crackle of the flames. Suddenly one of the sentries stood up and walked across to where his comrade sat. The two talked softly. Nefer fretted at the delay and was about to ask Taita for help when the old man anticipated him. He pointed his staff at the two dark figures. Within minutes their voices sounded drowsy, and at last the one sentry stood up, stretched and yawned. He sauntered back to his own fire and settled down with his sword across his lap. Taita kept the staff pointed at him, and slowly the man's head sank forward, his chin resting on his chest. From the other fire came a soft snore. Both men were fast asleep. Nefer touched Hilto and Merin. Each knew his job. They crept forward, again leaving Taita and Mintaka at the edge of the firelight. Nefer came up behind the nearest sentry. The sword had slipped from his lap and lay beside him in the sand. Nefer picked it up, and in the same movement slammed the bronze pommel into the man's temple. Without a sound, the sentry toppled over and lay stretched full length beside his fire. With the sword in his fist, Nefer glanced across at the other fire. Hilto and Merin had dealt with the sentry, who lay curled up like a sleeping dog. Hilto had his sword. The three ran forward and reached the nearest chariot. The javelins were still in the side bins. Nefer grabbed one. It felt heavy and comforting in his grip. Merin, too, had armed himself.
Suddenly one of the horses whinnied softly and stamped its hoof. Neffer froze. For a moment he thought that they'd remained undetected. Then a sleepy voice called out from within the square of chariots,
"Noza, is that you? Are you awake?"
A trooper staggered into the firelight, still more than half asleep, naked except for his loincloth. He held a sword in his right hand. He stopped and gawked at Neffer.
"Who are you?"
His voice rose in alarm. Merrin hurled the javelin. It struck in the centre of the man's chest. He threw up his hand and slumped to the sand. Merrin jumped forward and picked up his fallen sword. Howling like maddened djinns, the three of them leapt over the shafts and rushed into the square of vehicles. Their shrieks had thrown the awakening men into wild confusion. Some had not even drawn their weapons, and the captured swords rose and fell to a murderous rhythm, the blades dulled with blood. Only one of the enemy rallied and turned upon them. He was a big brute of a man, and he beat them back, roaring like a wounded lion. He aimed a full cut at Neffer's head, and although Neffer caught it with a high parry, the blow numbed his arm to the shoulder. The bronze blade snapped off at the guard. Neffer was disarmed, and his adversary swung up his sword and aimed at his head to finish it. Taita stepped out of the darkness behind him and rapped him over the skull with his staff. The man collapsed, and Neffer snatched the sword from his nerveless fingers before it struck the ground. The fight was over. Five of the survivors knelt with their hands on their heads, while Hilto and Merrin stood over them. Mintaka and Taita built up the fires, and by the light of the flames they made out that three of the troopers were dead and two others gravely wounded. While Taita treated their injuries, the others used spare tackle from the chariots to pinion the hands and feet of the prisoners. Only then could they drink their fill from the water skins, help themselves from the bread bag, and cut slices of dried meat from the provisions they found. By the time they'd eaten and drunk, the light of the new day was strengthening. It was another threatening, scarlet dawn, and the heat was already suffocating. Neffer selected three chariots, and the best of the horses to draw them. They stripped the chosen vehicles of any unnecessary equipment, such as the troopers' personal baggage and spare weapons beyond their own requirements. Neffer turned the unwanted horses loose, and sent them galloping into the wilderness by waving a blanket in their faces. Every minute, the ruddy light of that eerie dawn grew stronger, and they mounted in haste. When they were ready to leave, Neffer went to the group of bound prisoners. "You are Egyptians, as we are. It pains me deeply that we have killed and wounded some of your companions. This was neither our choice nor our pleasure. The usurper, Trok, forced this upon us." He squatted down next to the big man who'd nearly killed him. "You're a brave fellow. I wish that some day we could fight side by side against the common enemy." The skirt of Neffer's apron had drawn up as he sat, and the prisoner's eyes went down to the smooth muscles of his right thigh. His mouth fell open.
"Pharaoh Nefersetti is dead.
Why do you bear the royal cartouche?" he asked.
Neffer touched the tattoo that Taita had inscribed there so long ago. "I bear it by right," he said. "I am Pharaoh Nefersetti."
No.
The prisoner was agitated and afraid, and he'd probably never been on a battlefield. Mintaka jumped down from the chariot and came to them. She spoke to the man in a friendly tone.
"Do you know who I am?"
"You are Her Majesty Queen Mintaka.
Your father was my god and commander. I loved him well.
Therefore I love and respect you."
Mintaka slipped her dagger from its sheath and cut away his bonds.
"Yes, I am Mintaka, and this is Pharaoh Nefersetti, who is my betrothed. One day we shall return to Egypt to claim our birthright and to rule in peace and justice."
Neffer and Mintaka stood up, and she went on. "Give this message to your comrades in arms. Tell the people that we are alive, and that we shall return to this very Egypt." The man crept forward on his knees and kissed her feet. Then he crawled to Nefer and picked up one of his feet. He placed it upon his own head.
"I am your man," he said. "I shall carry your message to the people. Return to us soon, divine Pharaoh."
The other prisoners joined him with protestations of loyal love.
"Hail, Pharaoh! May you live and rule 1,000 years!
Nefer and Mintaka mounted their captured chariot, and the freed prisoners shouted,
"Bakir! Bakir!"
The three vehicles pulled out of the wrecked camp. Taita rode alone in the van, because he was best able to resist the wiles of Ishtar the Mede, and to discover the true road that had been hidden from them. Nefer and Mintaka followed closely, and Hilto and Merin brought up the rear guard. They headed back the way that they'd come. They'd only gone a short way, the valley of the sinking sands and the camp still in sight, when Taita stopped and looked back. The other two vehicles halted behind him.
"What is it?"
Nefer asked, and Taita held up his hand. In the silence they heard the distant sound of Trok's division coming on along the far bank. Then suddenly, through the lowering red dawn, they saw the head of his column appear from out the far dunes. In the leading chariot, Trok reined in sharply and shouted at Ishtar,
"By the blood and seed of Suith, the warlocks outwitted you again! Did you not foresee that they'd cross back and see the chariots of our picket?
Did you not also foresee it?"
Ishtar snarled at him.
"You are the great general."
Trok threw back his whip arm to lash him across his tattooed face for such insolence. But then he looked into the Mede's dark eyes and thought better of it and lowered the whip.
"What now, Ishtar? Will you let them get clear away?"
"There is only one road back for them, and Xander is coming down it with 200 chariots. You still have them between the grindstones,"
Ishtar pointed out darkly. Trok's face lit in a savage smile. In his fury he had almost forgotten Xander.
"The sun has hardly risen. You have all this day long to recross the shale bridge and follow them up,"
Ishtar went on.
"I have their scent in my nostrils. I will cast my web to ensnare them, and like a faithful hound I will lead you to the kill."
Trok lashed his horses forward and rode out onto the firm sand at the edge of the swamp, directly opposite the three chariots on the other bank. He managed to summon up a laugh and a wide smile that were almost convincing.
"I'm enjoying this more than you are, my friends. Revenge is a meal best eaten cold. By Suith, I will enjoy the taste of it."
"You must catch your rabbit before you can cook it,"
Mintaka called back.
"I will. Be sure that I still have some surprises to amuse you."
His smile faded as the three chariots started forward into the dunes, Mintaka waving back at him gaily. Although he knew that it was her intention to anger him, it galled him so much that his guts felt hot and sour with rage.
"Back!" he shouted at his men. "Back across the bridge!"